Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
Welcome to Expanded Perspectives. I'm your host, Kyle Filson, in a cold and frigid Skeleton Studios. Yeah, folks, it has been cold around here. It's about 28 degrees outside right now. Right now, it's pretty nice. But last week, we got some snow. The kids got out of school. And, of course, Luke loved that. You know, I remember as a kid, man, whenever we would get a snow day and you didn't have to go to school, it was so much fun. In the back of my pasture where I grew up, we had these big hills. And so it was perfect for sledding. So we had an old flexible flyer sled from like the 1950s, you know, back when they made stuff that lasted. And I remember we would wax those rails up. And then, of course, we would get the snowboards out and the skis and stuff. And we would get the four-wheeler out and drag ourselves around. It was a lot of fun back then. But I saw some kids just yesterday or 2 days ago. They were sledding over here, and it reminded me of that. It was the good snow, too, the wet kind, which is perfect for making snowballs or snowmen. You know, when you get that real dry stuff, boy, that's fun to ski and snowboard on, but it ain't very good for making snowballs. They won't even hold together. Cam is out of town, speaking of skiing. He is up in beautiful Colorado with his family. I'm super jealous. I have to stay here and work. But he's going to be gone for over a week. He's supposed to be taking lots of photographs. He had something going on with a hot air balloon, sleigh rides and stuff. So hopefully he'll take some pictures and we can use that on social media or something, or at least share it on Patreon. But he has all these high dollar cameras. It's funny. And he usually takes them with him, but for whatever reason, he never actually takes any photographs. He's an odd guy. But that's why we love him. And I hope him and his family have fun. Let's see. Speaking of my family, me and Luke went last week to watch the new Wolfman movie. And it was very good. It was different. It wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting, you know, your typical werewolf movie. And it wasn't really like that. It was like a bizarre infection that can take you over and make your face appear wolf-like. But it's not necessarily your werewolf. It was pretty scary. There was a lot of good jump scares. Luke gives it like a 9.8. I think I gave it like a 9.0. It was pretty good. I don't know why it didn't come out earlier, like in October. That would have made more sense to me. But if you're a fan of horror movies, I suggest you should go check out the new Wolfman. Speaking of horror movies, we got some interesting news coming up. It won't be on today's show, but it's been in the works behind the scenes. I've been working with our pal Derek Hayes, and we're going to have something interesting coming along real soon that happens to do with horror. But even though I'm alone here in Skeleton Studios, we can still have fun. I got some listener stories here. Check this one out. This one comes from listener Catherine up in Indiana, where she has what she thinks was a phantom phone caller. Check it out.
Here is a true story. This is Cynthia Catherine, K-E-T-R-O-N, calling from Avon, Indiana. My grandmother died when I was in my early years. And anyway, I loved to go visit her because she was the best cook, I thought, in the town of Speedway, Indiana. Well, anyway, I went to her house one time, and it was when she had first passed away. Grandfather was gone, too, unfortunately. I was tending the house, and Dad was staying, spending the weekend with us. But he left my little brother in charge of me and my brother was in the playpen. Do you believe that ghosts can come back? Do you believe in the weird, the mysterious darkness? But anyway, this is a thing I'll never forget. Since I was a babysitter that night, I was sitting on the couch watching TV and watching my brother while he was playing with his toy trucks and his playpen, and the two dogs were playing in the living room with each other. Well, anyway, I received a mysterious phone call. At first, I said, hello, hello, and there was no voice at the end, so I just said, oh, I just mumbled and said the wrong number. Second time, about 10 minutes later, the phone rang again, and so I picked it up. Again, there was no voice, just a heavy breathing on the phone. Well, at that time, I began to get hysterical, and I called my aunt in another state, and I asked her what to do, and she says, I think that you ought to call your dad to, my dad was staying at his friend's house for the evening playing cards, and she says, I think you ought to call your dad and come and get you out of there. She said, I don't like you being alone, and she said, somebody might be trying to break in the house, because they found out an elderly couple just died. Well, anyway, on the next phone call, the phone caller said, it sounded like a woman, she said, I'm coming to get you. And so I immediately hung up the phone, and the next time it called, there's a knock at the front door, and she said, I'm coming for you. And regardless to say, I took my brother and the two dogs and ran out the back of the house to a neighbor's. So I suspect it was my grandmother's ghost, but I didn't want to stay behind to find out. See if anybody else out there believes in ghosts, and see if anything like this ever happened to him. Well, anyway, it's my story on the weird, mysterious caller. It was a true story in Speedway, Indiana. I was alone that night, and boy, did I ever regret it. I never looked at horror movies the same again.
Wow, interesting story. You know, it's been a couple of years since we explored the topic of phantom phone calls. I might have to revisit that. I'm sure that in the time that's transpired between the last time we talked about it, there probably is some new stories. But it's an interesting phenomenon. I got another listener here. This is from Coyote. And he thinks he had a run-in with what is like a phantom rider or a glowing orb. Let's give it a listen.
Hey, guys. It's your boy Coyote again. So, ever since I was little, I was always told about this story of this motorcycle rider who had died on this one road, ran into the back of an 18-wheeler or something like that. And anyways, you're the only one on the road late at night, a white light will appear behind you. As I said before, we did a lot of paranormal investigating, and I got to the point to where I wanted to see this light. We had been hunting for so long that if I ever saw it, I would jump out and I wanted to see it. Well, I was, I think, around 12 or 13 years old, and this has been one of the first stories I was told and something that I've been really looking for. We probably drove in this ride thousands of times at night, never saw it. So I forgot what we were doing. I think we were fishing, but I was sitting in the passenger seat asleep, and all of a sudden I was woken up and said, hey, there's that light. So as soon as I looked in the back and I saw just this little bitty light, I was excited. We went a little ways, and the thing about this light is if you go, it goes. If you slow down, it slows down. If you stop, it stops. Speed up, speeds up. So I was really excited to go and have a stop, and I jumped out to the ditch that was a little deeper than the rest, got into the bushes. After I sat there, closed the door, and the truck took off, that's when I get, like to say, my manhood decided to disappear, because I did start feeling a little nervous. But one thing about it was this light never moved. It just stayed where it was at when we stopped. Didn't do nothing. As the lights get to where they're a little dim on the running lights, I started to see where they had hit the brake lights. And I was like, all right, cool. They're going to come back because this light ain't doing nothing. Well, they back up. They go forward. They back up. They go forward again. I don't know what they're doing, but that little light has just stayed where it was at. They finally turned around, they head my way, and I think I remember looking back a couple of times and the light was there, but by the time they got up to me, this light had disappeared. So when they got up to me, I said, hey, you know, sucks that light never moved. He said, what do you mean? Said, to me, that light never moved. He said, well, I got that light to pass you. That's whenever I backed up, went forward again, because that light was passing right in front of where you were at. Me, the whole time, that light never moved. So anyways, that's the little story I had of that. That's probably my first brave moment I had. But just wanted to appreciate y'all for everything y'all do, and I got more coming to you.
Interesting story. From his perspective, the ball of light never moved, but from his friends, it went right by him. Very interesting phenomenon. I don't know. Pretty crazy. I love those stories. Speaking of stories, if you have any stories you'd want to share with the people, just like Catherine and Coyote did, you can call the hotline. It's 888-393-BRUD. That's 888-393-2783. Let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some strange experiences. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Years ago, I met another guy in school who eventually went on to become a good friend of mine here in Colorado. The school I attended back then was kind of an uptight religious school. It was very strict, but I was used to that. You see, I was raised in the church, but this friend of mine, this new guy that I met, well, he was there for different reasons. From time to time, I tried to talk to him about religion and why he was there, but he always kind of blew it off. Anyways, one day, he said, "Why don't you come over to my house?" Sounded good to me, so after school, we went over to his house. Now, his home was really nice, and I could tell his parents must have had some money. Like I said, it was a real nice house, kind of ornate. You know, a lot of collectible household items, and one of the items his mother had in this big open garden area was a Ouija board. Now, I never played with one before. You see, my parents were very against them. They didn't want their son fooling around with anything associated with the devil, with spirits and so on. Well, this day I guess I was feeling a little defiant, and when my friend asked me if I wanted to play, I agreed. Now, at first, I was a little reluctant. I told him that I had heard stories of others playing around with them, only to have something attached to them. follow them home, and cause all types of problems. I originally suggested we probably should leave it alone, but after some convincing, I agreed to play with it. So, we gave it a shot, and within just a few short minutes, we got a few interesting responses. I was like, okay, that's that. I left feeling like all of the stories I had been told about Ouija boards and spirit boards were probably just large exaggerations and nothing more. That is, until many years later. So fast forward now. We're in our late 20s, and I'm in school. Well, actually, I had just left college to move back in with my mother to help her with my grandmother. See, she was suffering with dementia at the time. Anyways, one night, my friend calls me up at maybe 3 or 3:30 in the morning. It was December. It was very cold. It was snowing. And I could just hear him, my friend. He was just crying hysterically. So I shot up, got out of bed. Confused and in a daze, I asked him, "What's going on?" Well, my mother overheard my conversation and immediately says, "He needs our help. Grab your keys and let's go now." So I did what she suggested. So we got in my truck and hurried over to his house, which was only about 15 minutes away. Well, we get to his house and he's standing outside in the snow. No shoes on, just an undershirt and jeans. He immediately gets in my truck and starts crying again. He just was shaking uncontrollably, probably from being cold, and a little bit from being scared. He starts to calm down, and that's when we ask him, "What's going on? What's happening in there?" And he says, "I came home from hanging out with some friends. I smelled this awful smell, almost like sulfur. I paid little mind to it at first. I looked around the house, and it's not until I came into the living room that I saw this man sitting on my couch." The man was very good looking, very well kept. Now you see, my friend had a dog, a big Rottweiler, and his Rottweiler, instead of barking and going crazy and wanting to attack this guy, it was just sitting next to the man. The man was kind of just stroking the dog. He said that when he looked at the man's eyes, they were solid gray. There was no pupil. There was no white. It was just gray. He said it was just completely grayed over, and I don't know if there was some type of, well, there was no verbal communication, he said, but the look, maybe not in his words, but maybe some type of thoughts. I felt that my thoughts were being read by this being. He said it felt like his soul was being taken from him, and that this being knew, "I have you right where I want you." Well, he panicked and tried to leave through the front door, but it wouldn't open. He tried as hard as he could, but it wouldn't budge. So he ran to his room and broke out the window and escaped. My mom and I are like, "Well, do you have a key to even get back in?" The sun is starting to come up now, you know, it's like 4:30 or 5 o'clock in the morning. We were like, we really didn't want to go back in there, but we better. Let's go see if this man was still in his house. Could my friend be delusional or something? Could he have imagined it? So, we started to make our way back into the house, and the house is a complete wreck. Cupboards are basically torn off the hinges. Food and dish plates were scattered all over the kitchen floor. There was even dog vomit in the living room and multiple areas of the house. Like I said, I was born and raised in the church, and nowadays, too many people want to recognize the good. But there is evil out there. This certainly opened my eyes to it, because seeing what I saw and what I sensed, the atmosphere in that house was just heavy. And just walking around in that house and just knowing that, why would my friend go to such extremes to break a window and tear up his house and run out of the home? He said once, he felt that, as I was explaining, once he felt that part of him, a part of his soul was being taken by this entity. He still insists to this day that he thinks that man was the devil. Well, it was terrifying to say the least, and whoever my friend saw in his home, well, was no longer there. I thought to myself that perhaps my friend was mistaken and that who he actually saw was a burglar or something. But he insisted that this was no ordinary man. It was the devil himself. Shortly afterward, I told a few other friends that knew me and knew my friend, and they were all creeped out by the bizarre story. One day, my mom suggested that we should call a priest over to come and bless the house, and even the priest, when they came over, they had a look to them that maybe there really was something strange going on here and that we couldn't explain. And during the prayer, my friend, the one who went through all this, he fainted on the floor. I don't know if it was a possession or whatever, but something happened. Since then, I've never messed with Ouija boards again. And I tell anyone who asks if those things are real, I tell them that it can be very, very dangerous. You never know what you can contact with those things. Over the years, me and my friend have grown apart and only speak a few times a year. I've asked him a few times, and he always cuts me off, not wishing to speak about the incident again. This is something that happened to my brother when he was in high school, but it's a pretty cool story. I live in a real small town about 80 miles southwest of Chicago. It's mostly farm around here, mostly cornfields. So, he was out one night, you know, doing what teenagers do around here. We have nothing better to do than to drive around the back roads and stuff. Well, this night they were out super late, like 2 or 3 in the morning, driving around in the cornfields, and they had to stop to, well, in nicer words, relieve themselves. So, he gets out with his friends. There's two guys in the car, and his friends get out and are standing by the corn. All of a sudden, they hear this noise, way out in the corn. He explained it like, it was like this wailing sound, but it wasn't like a machine. It wasn't human, and it wasn't the sound of an animal, or any that he knows, that could make that. It was just this weird wail or something. So, he looked at his friends and he said, "Did you guys hear that?" And he said that they all said, "Yeah." He told his friends that who were in the car to shut up and listen. So everybody got real quiet. Then they heard the corn rustling. And then it was like it was coming closer to them. They could almost see the corn moving. The corn was kind of high, but they could now see it moving definitely. And it was getting closer and closer to them. So they started getting really freaked out, and they started getting really, really quiet. Then out of nowhere, they heard this girl's voice that said, "Where are you, Mommy?" He said that his heart almost burst, and they screamed like little girls, and they all got in the car, and he screamed to his friend, "Drive! Drive!" And they just took off right away. Back in the car, they were saying to each other, "Did you hear that? Did you hear that?" And they all said, "Oh my God, who was that?" They couldn't figure it out. What was that wailing sound? Why would a little girl be out in a cornfield at 2 or 3 in the morning? We couldn't figure it out. We live in such a small community that if there was a little girl missing, you know, in the corn, we all know all the local farmers, all the farms around here. We would know, like, if somebody was missing, we would have heard about it. You know, if a little girl was in the corn or so. What in the hell did they hear that night? I don't know. I am much older now, and I still, from time to time, ask my brother about that night. Did he make up the story just to frighten me? And he insists to this day that it really happened, and that it scares him when he still thinks about it. This is a true story. It happened to me. Many, many years ago, I was in the ministry. One night, I had taken my grandfather out for an evening football game. You know, just a local team. He lived way out in the country. Anyways, I took him back home around 11:30 or 12 o'clock at night when the football game had ended. after taking him home, which was a small farmhouse, I was coming down the country road, and there was like a bend in the road, and I was just looking out my car window. I saw something stirring the horses out in the field, and those being our horses, I decided to park my car just past the bend. I walked my way back to the bend. I started looking over the barbed wire fence to see what was stirring the horses, and I started looking out towards the horses. I heard a rumbling in the leaves and the grass only a few feet in front of me, kind of moving the grass or crackling of the leaves. And as I looked, this is where everything started getting strange. As I looked into the weeds and the grass, and I saw sort of a vision of a man and a woman lying in the grass. And I immediately thought to myself, oh, this is stupid. You've walked onto somebody who wanted privacy in the middle of the night. I just couldn't fathom what was going on. As I looked again, these two figures kind of shrunk. I don't know how else to say it, but they just kind of shrunk. Literally, this vision just kind of shrunk in size and became something black and white and fuzzy and just ran right towards me. As it came right to me in the bend, there was a water pipe that runs from the ditches. It runs under the dirt road. It went right into the ditch, into this drain. This drain pipe that goes under the road. Well, at this point I was very confused. I looked at the end of this pipe that went under the road, and as I looked further, I saw two little hands. They emerged out and grabbed the edge of the pipe. I kept looking, and out of this pipe came the face of a little boy. And it was a grayish-white, ghoulish-looking face, and it had black fur all over where his hair was. He looked at me. I looked at him. I guess I startled him, and he went rustling back into the pipe. Well, needless to say, I was afraid. I walked on. I got confused. When you see something startling like that, first of all, it looked like I walked into something, and all of a sudden it shrunk. I got more confused. I didn't know what it was. When I saw that little face come out of the pipe and then go back in, well, I headed back to my car, and fast. I got in my car, started it up, and then I said to myself, hey, wait a minute. You're a divinity student. You're a minister. There's nothing that can harm you. So I stopped, turned off the car, went back out there to the bend, got down on my knees, and started praying. After I said a few prayers, I got back up, got back into my car, and took off. The next day, I went to my grandfather and I told him about what happened. He looked at me like he had seen a ghost. He got very quiet, and I swear he turned white. After a few seconds, he said, I don't want to tell you what went on here. I want you to tell your father the same thing to see what he has to say. So feeling intrigued now, I went back and told my father the same story word for word. And my father said that many years ago that he and my grandfather were at the farmhouse. There used to be a little house, a small little one-bedroom house right where the bend in the road was, and that a woman had lost her child. And they had heard that she had turned to black magic to try to have some kind of connection with her dead child. And one time, they felt it while she was performing that they saw a fireball come out of her house, in the front of her house, roll across the yard, roll across the gravel area, the road, the area in the bend, jump over the fence and roll around in the field right where the horses were. I know it sounds like a fantastic story, but it is a true story. And what I think it was, what I saw in the pipe, was the ghost of that little boy. Both my father and grandfather are very straightforward men, not at all the types to just make up a story on the fly. Not like that. Not like that. So I still wonder what it was that I saw that night. All these years later, I still think about it. I travel around the country. It's just me and my dog. We were in Guy's Mills, Pennsylvania, Crawford County. And we were at this wildlife preservation, the Erie National Wildlife Preserve. I was doing volunteer work there, so I was there for about 2 weeks and nothing out of the ordinary was happening. Me and my dog were going for a walk and I see these, they were tracks. They were going in. It had rained really hard earlier that day and they were going down a stone road that I was walking down, so there wasn't anything I could cast, but I took pictures of them. They were large. They were around 18-inch long footprints, and they had a 72-inch stride length. Well, I've heard about the stories about Sasquatch and things, and I started to get excited. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. I didn't think any more about it. I mean, this was miles away. I mean, we hiked miles, so it was way, way from my camper, and I'm camped in the middle of absolutely nowhere. I mean, there's a building where they kept all the equipment, and then there was another, like, little outbuilding, but other than that, I'm in the middle of the National Wildlife Preservation, so there's nothing around. And they had a little spot for me to camp, for volunteers to camp, and we were the only ones allowed there. So it was just me and my dog. And so I scouted the area really well because when I wasn't volunteering, I mean, there was no cell service. You couldn't get nothing from my mobile hotspot. I couldn't get a TV channel. So I was bored, just me and nature. And I actually kind of liked it that way. Anyways, it was one night. This was in May. So it was warm enough for me to have my windows open. And it was probably 10 o'clock at night. And I was sitting here reading. And when I was reading, I started hearing people talking, but I couldn't exactly understand what they were saying. And that caught my interest because I'm in the middle of nowhere and hearing people. You know, in the middle of nowhere is more frightening than anything. So I stopped what I was doing and I listened. And I could hear them talk, and it sounded like a TV being on in the other room, you know, with the door closed, where all you could hear was kind of the bass sounds. So I went outside and I looked around and I didn't see anything. I come back in and I could hear the talking again and thought, wow, now this is strange. And then I remembered the footprints and I thought, I doubt it, but okay. I walked back outside again and I heard the voices kind of moving away and I heard this bass sounds. And still to this day, I have no idea this bass sound was, but it was almost sounded like the speakers in the back of your car, and I don't know what it was. I know that I was in Amish country, in the middle of nowhere, so I really doubt somebody had a stereo in the back of their car going down one of these little dirt roads, but hey, maybe. So, it was the next night now. My dog started going nuts, and he tried getting up underneath where I sleep, so I laid there, and I'm on one arm, and I'm still laying down, and I bend over to figure out what the dog wanted, and the next thing you know, I'm laying on the ground. You know how when you first wake up, you're not really sure what's going on? So I started getting up, and when I got up, I got pushed into the wall. And now when I looked up, I could see that everything I had hanging was swaying, and it hit me that the RV was rocking. I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. The next day, I went outside and I found that all over my RV were these 11 and a half inch handprints. I even have pictures of it. So, I was terrified. You should have seen the way the RV was shaking. I have a big 20 foot long RV, and if you could have seen the way it was shaking, I mean, it was frightening. So I don't know what was shaking my RV that night, but whatever it was large. I even think it was probably more than one. Well, the next morning I got up, I gathered up all my gear, and I got the hell out of there. To this day, I still don't know what it was. Was it a Bigfoot? I don't know. Was it a Sasquatch? I don't know. Could it have been just some people? I guess so, but whoever it was had very large hands. To this day, when I think back about that night, it scares the hell out of me. This next story I'd like to share was pretty interesting. It came from a Pittsburgh Press newspaper back in 1903, September 3rd to be exact, and it talked about an eyewitness account of a gigantic prehistoric monster on Stansbury Island that might have been a pterosaur. We talk about it all the time on the show, me and Cam, these large bird sightings, these large pterosaur sightings, the ropin, the Indava bird, things like that. So I thought I would share this story. Now remember, this is an actual article from an actual newspaper. It was even republished in the Salt Lake City County News. This is how it goes. A terrible, nameless, unclassified creature of the animal world is exciting in the curiosity, wonder, and fear of occasional visitors to Stansbury Island in the southern portion of the Great Salt Lake. This monster, for it can be called nothing else, has lately, it is said, been seen by several persons. But the best account of its characteristics and movements is given by Martin Gilbert and John Barry, two hunters who this week returned from an expedition over the island, in the course of which they studied the habits of this hitherto unheard-of creature for 3 days. The monster, which appears to be almost equally at home in the air as on the beach or submerged in the briny waters of Salt Lake, is probably the sole survivor of a prehistoric species. It is doubtless that the last representative of a family whose other members dead ages since have left the testimony of their existence in the primeval rocks of the mountains. Arranging in concise form the description of this incredible relic of the animal world from the accounts given by those who have observed it at close range, it seems in plain, unscientific language, a combination of fish, alligator, and bat. In size, it is simply tremendous. Gilbert places the length at 50 feet, while Barry, who is an amateur scientist, says that the examination of its tracks demonstrates that the monster must be at least 65 feet from head to tail. The head is like that of an alligator, the eyes fiercely glowing, the jaws capable of opening to a distance of 10 feet from the top of the upper to the lower, are provided with a fearful array of sharp, saw-edged teeth. The body, so far as observation goes, is increased with heavy, horny scales. As to this, Gilbert and Barry are not positive as the constant diving of the beast, if such it may be called, into the strong brine of the lake, has encrusted it with a thick coat of salt, which, save near the wings, completely hides the body. It is due to this unusual phenomenon that the hunters obtained their first sight of the monster. According to their account, they first sighted it at a distance of between 1.5 and 2 miles. The day was clear, the sun intensely bright. Gilbert's own words of the discovery are, "We were looking westward from the east shore of the island about 9 o'clock in the morning when suddenly to the northwest there appeared a thing. Now, I don't know what to call it. It looked to me like a brilliant rainbow folded into compact mass moving rapidly through the air. In 3 or 4 minutes, the monster's position was such that it no longer reflected the sunlight directly towards us, and we could then discern the outline of its form. Its wings were bat-like, stretching out over a great expanse, I should say at least 100 feet from tip to tip. The tail was proportionally short and resembled that of a huge fish. We were not close enough at this time to tell much about the head, only we saw that the jaws were very long. In shape, the head was like that of a crocodile. We watched it disappear in the gathering gloom of night, but were for a long time paralyzed with fear, not knowing when it might return. It was probably an hour later when it did come back. We heard the swish of the mighty wings before we could even see it, but as it drew nearer, by the light of the young moon in the west, we saw that it carried in its jaws a large horse, which I supposed it had swooped down upon while feeding. The horse was badly crushed and mangled. The monster carried its burden into the cave, and we could hear the crunching of its jaws and the cracking of the horse's bones as the beast devoured its victim. After an hour or so, all was still, and then slipped quietly away into the darkness, and we returned to our camp on the eastern shore of the island.
Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.
How does PwC take your company to the leading edge? We bring the sharpest minds in tech to your team, so you can bring the ideas that will transform your business. We are passionate about your industry, so you can walk into any room with every advantage. We're with you every step of the way, so you can know you're headed in the right direction. At PwC, we build for what's next, so you can get there now. Let's get started at pwc.com/us/leading edge.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I hope you like some of those stories. Very cool. Like I said, Cam is out of town. I wish he was here. It's just me and Mary here at the offices, but we'll make it work. I want to thank everybody for sending in their stories. If you have any stories and you're on the fence about sending it in, don't fear. Go ahead and send it in. You can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com, or you can call the hotline, like I said, 888-393-2783. And let's not forget about our wonderful sponsors. Stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/expanded to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/EXPANDED, ZocDoc.com/expanded. And just in time for the new year, ProLawn is offering Expanded Perspectives listeners 15% off their 5-day nutrition program for your post-holiday glow-up when you go to ProLawnLife.com/expanded. That's ProLawnLife.com/expanded for 15% off ProLawnLife.com/expanded. I hope everybody out there has a good week. I know a lot of America is going to be hit with a huge snowstorm this week, especially on the East Coast. I hope everybody out there, be careful, dress warm, and be careful if you're driving or traveling. And that's, I guess, so everybody that's on the eastern side of the United States, bundle up, dig in, prepare, be careful if you're out driving, bring those pets in. It's going to be a cold one. That's about all the time we have for this episode. We'll be back real soon when Cam gets back from Colorado, and we'll talk about his crazy adventures then. I hope everyone is safe. Have a good one. Till next time, I'm Kyle. Peace.
Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is so delicious, so unbelievable, no word exists to describe it. It's better than mind-blowing, it's mouth-blowing. Bright, citrusy, and spicy, this newest flavor from Captain Morgan is a balanced blend of sweetness with delicious notes of lime and slightly spicy chili flavor that is great for an escape outdoors with your crew or your next hangout. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime is best enjoyed as an ice-cold shot or as a chili lime twist on a classic as a spicy daiquiri. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, a touch of sweet, a kick of heat. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan's Sweet Chili Lime, premium Caribbean rum with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume, Captain Morgan Rum Co., New York, New York.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.